Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Welcome to this broadcast of the Word of Grace on CJMQ Radio, broadcasting to the Eastern Townships of Quebec and beyond. As many of you know, my name is Nigel Parker, Minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, and together with our supporters, I welcome you to this programme of readings and reflections. This is the week of prayer for Christian unity, and this afternoon at 3 o'clock, there is a service at St. Mark's Chapel at Bishop's University, in which many churches will be participating. This is also the weekend in which Lennoxville United Church will be celebrating its 150th birthday as a congregation, and so we rejoice with our sisters and brothers there, as their service is led by the National Moderator of the United Church, the Right Reverend Kimberly Heath. Words from Psalm 27 to open with. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon the rock. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. We turn to God in prayer. Gracious Lord, God of all, guide for the lost, light for those in darkness. Our eyes turn to you. Hear our prayer. May the bright sun of your glory shine forth, giving light and life to all, from the east to the west, and from the north to the south. Let the morning rays of your eternal spring awaken us who await your coming. Gracious God, it is yourself who is our light and our salvation. You are peace and you are grace. You are healing and you are love. You send comfort and courage to relieve our fears and our tears in the shadows of fear and doubt. To you be all praise. You call us to lives of meaning and to follow you in your ways of justice, truth, and goodness. And we offer our praise in love and loyalty, for you are always with us. Merciful God, you call us to follow your way of compassion, but too often we criticize each other. You call us to follow your way of peace, but too often we remain divided. You call us to trust you, but too often our fears and doubts overwhelm us. Forgive us, O God, and strengthen our commitment to follow your ways. God calls to us in love and forgiveness, and welcomes us in with a warm embrace. Hear the good news of the gospel. Rejoice that in Christ we are forgiven, and let us be at peace with God, with ourselves, and with other people in our household and our community and fellowship of faith. Amen. Reading from Matthew's Gospel at chapter 4, verses 12 to 23, Jesus begins to call his disciples. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and illness among the people. Amen.
Have come to the seashore, neither searching for the rich nor the wise, desiring only that I should follow. Oh Lord, with your eyes set
I think I have said before that I don't often make direct comment on items in the news, either on broadcast news or online or in print, because in the interval between recording and broadcast, the circumstances may change so much and so fast that whatever I may have recorded earlier in the week may be foolish and ill-informed later in the week. This past week is no exception. As I am writing these notes and recording their words, there is great confusion about what's happening with our neighbour Greenland. At one point it was going to be invaded. At another point it was going to be persuaded to become part of the United States. And on another occasion it was being simply bought out. And so our headlines are full of comment to this extent. But let me take you back in time to the year 1809, 216 years ago. Across Europe, there were big wars taking place as France, under Napoleon Bonaparte, was invading and annexing various parts of Europe. And of course, other empires resisted, like the Russians and the British and the Prussians. In that year, there were at least 20 battles and skirmishes on record, the most famous of which were the battles at Corunna, in which the British commander-in-chief Sir John Moore was killed, and Talavera, which established the Duke of Wellington, Arthur Wellesley, as one of the most able field commanders. Now, had we been living at the time and the technology existed, then the 5 o'clock and the 11 o'clock news would have been full of Napoleon's war with the Austrians and in Spain. Babies being born were not major headlines then. Nobody cared about who was born in that year, 1809. And yet, in 1809, at least 7 remarkable babies were born. William Gladstone, destined to become one of Britain's greatest prime ministers. Alfred Lord Tennyson, one of their finest poets. Edgar Allan Poe, a famous American writer who lived a short and tragic life. In Paris, France, the inventor of the blind alphabet, Louis Braille, was born. And in Germany, Felix Mendelssohn was born. And on the 12th of February, 1809, 2 remarkable men, one on each side of the Atlantic, were born. In England, Charles Darwin, who was to expound the theory of evolution, was born. And in the United States, Abraham Lincoln was born, who was going on to be one of their great presidents. So I'm sure that if we'd been a review of 1809, these words would have been heard. The destiny of the world is being shaped on the battlefields in Austria and Spain today. Even as today, the headlines mark the future of the world as being decided in Davos in Switzerland. But history was actually being shaped in the cradles of the old and the new world. In a time of darkness, there was a light that was shining in the cribs and the cradles. Psalm 27, with which I opened the broadcast, speaks of light that shines. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? No doubt the world of the psalmist was every bit as mysterious and confusing and baffling as our world can be. But he had a conviction that there was a place where light shone, where hope dawned, where the future was bright. The writer of Matthew's Gospel picks up the theme from Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. In out-of-the-way places, in places that didn't seem to count for much, it was there that hope and light was to be found. It was fitting, then, that Jesus began his public ministry in a place that didn't make the headlines, a place like Galilee of the Gentiles. Jesus' call to follow the light comes in a summons to desert the darkness, to repent, to change, to reorientate from the temporary to the permanent, from the material to the spiritual, from the self-centered to the God-centered. The light that the people in darkness see is clearly associated with the message Jesus brings. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And a few verses later, in verse 23, we're told that Jesus is preaching the good news of the kingdom. But this is not a self-help message. The help of the kingdom of heaven is promised. Indeed, if the message were only repent, you turn your life around, then the news of the kingdom certainly couldn't be called good news. The good news is that faith in Jesus Christ frees us from the tyranny of the law, the lie that says you have to be good enough to earn your way to heaven. The good news is that even though none of us are good enough, none of us has to be, because Christ paid our way with his blood when he died on the cross. So the good news is the light, and the light is the good news. And the proclamation of this message is throwing on the light switch. But Jesus is concerned about something more, not just the message, but also the messengers. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw 2 brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of people." And at once they left their nets and followed him. And he next makes a similar offer to James and John. In order to make the light of the love of God in Christ known, Jesus calls disciples. He calls disciples into the light, and he empowers them to be as light to others. He takes those who fish to be fishers of men and women. The calling of the disciples, the next generation of messengers, is part and parcel of the light, because here at the very beginning, they represent the ongoing work of Christ in the church, and they remind us who serve Jesus that we should be doing the same. In this week of prayer for Christian unity, many should be reminding ourselves that the reason for unity is the mission of the church. We have a conviction that the future lies with those whom God is calling into his glorious light. Maybe like those headlines of 1809, the real significant changes in history aren't happening in the headlines and in the broadcasts and in the press conferences, but lying in lives that are being born into this world and born into the kingdom of God.
The light is gleaming, spreading its arms throughout the night, living in the light. Come share its gladness, God's
Again, we turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. We give you thanks and praise, O God, for at the dawn of creation, you were the light that split open the darkness and brought all things into being. You called the people to live in your presence and walk in the light of your law and prophets. In Jesus, the Christ, you have proclaimed to us the good news of the nearness of heaven and called us to repent and to follow him as disciples. He was killed, but you raised him to new life, and although his cross is derided as foolishness to us who are being saved, it is your power at work, breaking the grip of our oppressors, teaching us your truth, healing our sicknesses, increasing our joy, and leading us home to your house of prayer. In this week of prayer for Christian unity, we uphold your people throughout the world and within our own communities. Help us be wise in the way that we relate to each other, to love one another in spite of our differences, to use the differences between us to express our own faith and to sharpen our own understandings. We remember before you today people living face to face with economic uncertainty, those struggling with rising costs of daily necessities, and those who've lost their jobs, their savings, their homes and their businesses. We remember before you today people living face to face with discrimination and social prejudice, those who are bullied at school, at work, or at home, and all those who've been made ashamed of who they are. We remember before you today people living face to face with illness and suffering, waiting for a diagnosis or treatment, struggling with disability or delay in medical attention, and those who know grief or fear. And so, in unity with your church around the world that you love, we pray together the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
The Church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ the Lord. She is His new creation by Spirit and the Word. From them He came and sought her to be His holy bride. With His own blood He bought.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.